ever rise? Will we ever rise above the fear? Can we learn to see the need? Can we share humanity? Oh, I can see another day come. Broken people, we can be made whole. We can be made whole. We can be made whole. As we lay down our weapons, open up our hearts. Love is breaking us. Love's remaking us. Will we ever rise? Will we ever rise above the hate? Can we learn another way? Forgive as you forgave. I can see another day come. Broken people, we can be made whole. We can be made whole. We can be made whole. As we lay down our weapons, open up our hearts. Love is breaking us. Love remains. Blindness, so we can see as we were meant to see. I feel like devastating darkness. Oh, I can see another day come. Oh, I can see another day come. Broken people, we can be made whole. Broken people, we can be made whole. Broken people, we can be.
Mapmaker, demure and sunset, a rose fickle in its bleed across paper, your fruit passed from lover to lover, in search of home, adventure. Forearms covered in ink, fingertips darkened too, there is nothing untouched by it. Scouring raven, preserver of landscapes, terrains, listening as it speaks, they moan with grief, the ones who came before. In the deep cave of ancient memories at your chest, bones and necklace tell stories about this place. Yet, there is no separation between this land and that spring, your body and mine, between homeless and rich, ugly and beautiful, sinner and saint, life and death. It is all now. There is no difference but the difference you make. Walls for prayers and mercies. Your hands, do they search for me like mine search for you, for lips and rouse at the beautiful gate gaping wide open, begging for alms or extending grace? Here is the god of earthquake and thunder, a beggar, the round of your belly where grit and building test. It is weak, but strong enough to love. The length of your body, somehow the road through, the path between north and south, this town and the next, each marking a growing pain. See how earth stretches over time, how it gives birth again and again. Even worn temples shine, frayed at the edges, burned by candlelight. Maps, they tell the truth, but things change over time. We are all searching for gold. By the river where so many poets are born, in the eyes of doe, in the shrubbery's slow growth. Over time, with intention, we set in motion the world we live in. It is me, it is you, cross-pollination. Lowly believers, gardeners, getting dirty in the soil we cultivate, in this place, watching over one another, with eyes of sea and stream, weeping with those who weep, letting the witness in. This is where I enter you, beyond the temple mound, along the seashore, collecting the sounds of breath in each shell. Map maker, you know every rock, river, and stone, given a key to guide us to walk the path of Jesus. Map maker, you must be an astronomer too. As we gaze towards the heavens, there, the invisible God, we look, we see you. Maps, your love letters, as we navigate alone and together with you.
Together we're strong now. I look for what I knew, only to find new truth. I'm fearful to be by your side, it's alright.
Amen, and welcome to online worship here with the table at Central United Methodist Church for April the 11th. My name is Matt Smith, and along with Linda Duhirsu, we serve as the co-pastors of this phenomenal community of faith that's physically located in East Sacramento at the corner of 53rd and H Street, and coming to you virtually as we have for just over a year right now. But you'll notice something is different today. For those that have been with us in the past, we, over this last year, have been recording worship live from, or sorry, it was definitely not live. We have been recording, pre-recording worship from our homes and then sharing from our homes to your homes during this time of global pandemic. Today marks the very first time in this last year that we are going to be recording parts of worship from in the sanctuary, and it feels so phenomenal to be here, as it did on Easter morning at sunrise with many of you, to gather outside and to celebrate the rising of the sun on Easter morning. And we are so grateful to be together with you in this way as we found our way over a year ago into online community. We now are starting to wonder about what our next steps will be that will help guide us from being entirely online to transitioning to offering both in-person gatherings and online experiences that can be accessed virtually. So we're finding our way in the midst of so many details with that. For these next couple of weeks, really throughout April and May, our intention is to start to record more and more from here in the sanctuary, and then to move as it feels safer as we move toward herd immunity in this area, toward gathering, opening the sanctuary doors, we hope sometime early, maybe in the middle of the summer, so that we can, some of us, those that are here local and can do so safely, will be able to gather here in person in the sanctuary. And again, we're gonna keep offering that online virtually as well. The song that we just heard is an expression of kind of the newness that we're living into, this in-between time. About 2 weeks ago, I sent a song to our music director, Brendan, a hymn. It's an older hymn, and he listened to it over 100 times. He was trying to figure out how are they gonna make this work for this worship series. And after about 100 times listening through, he excavated and found some chords that he was really drawn to in that old hymn. He sent that along to Hannah, who is another person on our music team. Hannah wrote a melody, and then they passed that along to Natalie and to Casey and Omari. And that song was created from their collaborative effort. And so that's just one example of some of the ways that we're gonna be living together into that revolutionary intimacy, is the way we're gonna talk about it during this worship series. Many people in the world believe that Easter is one day, but in the Christian church, the depth of our tradition has reminded us that Easter, the mystery is so big, so profound, so deep, that it takes an entire season, 50 days, to live in to the fullness of what Easter and the power of resurrection offers to us. And so during this season, we're going to hold our lives here at the table in conversation with the book of Acts in the New Testament, and in particular with a phenomenal new provocative commentary by a theologian at Yale Divinity School, Reverend Dr. Willie James Jennings. And so we're going to move through the book of Acts over these next weeks together. We're going to wonder about how God is calling us in this day to live into being a new form of Christian community, one that gathers both in person and virtually, one that makes space in that in-between, both this time that is in-between and whatever God's unfolding grace might lead us into the future. We're calling this series Revolutionary Intimacy. And so you'll find on our website, if you sign up there for our email, you can stay in connected as we share more about how we will roll out this new way of gathering, both here in person and virtually, over these next couple months. I'd encourage you to do that. Our website's thetableumc.org. If you're a guest, you're checking this out, you're wondering maybe a little bit about this community, we'd encourage you to text the word new to the number that's appearing there on your screen, and that'll enter you into a conversation so we can share a little bit more about things going on here and start to get to know your story. If you're ready to connect with others, to learn more about how we share in life together, and to meet other people in this virtual time, Pastor Linda and I lead a six-week series that is rooted in a book that we wrote together called Growing in Faith. We have a new Growing in Faith series starting this Tuesday evening. That one is full, but we're going to offer another Growing in Faith series online Tuesday evenings starting on May 25th. So you can go to our website, find more information there about that. Again, we are so grateful to be in this together with you. We're going to move now from a song that has been written over the last week or two by our own music team to our music team's version of a song that has inspired and sustained folks for a number of decades. And that song is Tracy Chapman's Talking About a Revolution. And so we're going to continue to move in worship in this worship series we're calling Revolutionary Intimacy, wondering about the new disruptive ways that God is calling us to be community by turning to our music team's version of that Tracy Chapman song. So let us continue to move in worship now.
Don't you know they're talking about a revolution? It sounds like a whisper. Don't you know they're talking about a revolution? It sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around for a promotion. Don't you know they're talking about a revolution? It sounds like a whisper. Poor people gonna rise up and get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's theirs. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. You better run, 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 run. 'Cause finally the tables are starting to turn, talking about a revolution. Yes, finally the tables are starting to turn, talking about a revolution. Oh, oh, talking about a revolution. Oh, I've been standing in the welfare line, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know they're talking about a revolution? It sounds like a whisper. And finally the tables are starting to turn, talking about a revolution. Yes,
after Jesus' suffering, the risen one presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over the course of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of God the Creator. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that God the Creator has set by their own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly, two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven."
It is really good to be back in the sanctuary, and I'm so grateful for this small step forward. Change is not always easy, even when it's change that I am welcoming and have been looking forward to for really 13 months. So I want to tell you that something else that is easier for me. It's easier for me to memorize things, memorize lyrics, actually, than anything else. And I have always wondered why. Over the last 13 months, I figured it out. It actually isn't what I thought. It's not that I love music more than almost everything else, which is true. It's because repetition. Repetition. When I hear something over and over again, it finds a home in me. So, an example. We were out at Table Farm, and the chore that we were charged for doing that day was to turn over and turn in the cover crop. We were learning all about the plants that make up our cover crop. Chloe had said that we had planted oats, peas, and beans. And as soon as I heard her words, oats, peas, beans, I remembered a song. And it all came back to me. Oats, peas, beans, and barley grow. Oats, peas, beans, and barley grow. You or I or anyone knows how oats, peas, beans, and barley grow. The song continues and tells the story of a farmer and the seeds and all of the land. And in that moment, I realized that a nursery song had shaped my identity in a small and very unexpected way. I had a similar experience with a scripture passage that it's a passage we share to conclude our 6-week Growing in Faith group. And it's from Matthew's Gospel. And during pandemic, we have taught not only back-to-back Growing in Faith groups, but also overlapping groups. That means that over the last 13 months, I have read that passage through out loud 3 times, because that's how you do it, 3 times, multiple times a month. Does that make sense? So I was somewhat able to recall it before in pieces, but now I can almost fully recite parts of it from memory. Repetition. Goes like this. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" And he said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That's from Matthew 22. I have been monitoring the trial of the Derek Chauvin murder case. And Chief Arredondo was a witness this week. He's the chief of police in Minneapolis. They asked him a question. Why did you decide to become a police officer? And his answer was, I've been very fortunate to come from a city of very resilient, very welcoming, proud people here in the city of Minneapolis. And my dear parents taught all of my siblings and me about the service of love. And so I've been very fortunate to even eventually join the Minneapolis Police Department and give back to the very community, the very city that has embraced me and has been so good to me. Question: are you familiar with the motto then of the Minneapolis Police Department? And his answer: yes, to protect with courage and serve with compassion. What does it mean, Chief, then, to serve with compassion? And he answered, to serve with compassion to me means to understand and to authentically accept that we see our neighbor as ourselves. We value one another. We see our community as necessary for our existence, and so that is what serving with compassion means to me. My ears perked up, and I can't say for certain, but I believe it is very possible that the same passage from Matthew 22 was repeated over and over again for Chief Arredondo, shaping his identity also. And he gave witness to his calling as a police officer with these specific words. It helped me then to understand how his identity had really and truly been shaped by Scripture. Each of us has God-given identities that have been shaped in dynamic and intimate ways by Scripture, by song, and by the times, people, and places in which we live. This is true now, and it was true for the people of God who came before us. Sometimes it is simple, a nursery song sung by a loving mom. But sometimes it is revolutionary, like Scripture, which calls us to love our neighbor, being held alongside police reform work and the dismantling of what Resmaa Minicum calls white body supremacy in our country. Biblical scholar and theologian, the Reverend Dr. Willie James Jennings, says that the book of Acts presents a God working, moving, creating the dawn that will break each day, putting into place a holy repetition that speaks of the willingness of God to invade our everyday and our every moment. There is only one central character in this story of Acts, he writes, and it is God, the Holy Spirit. Some biblical scholars describe the Gospel of Luke as narrating the Acts of Jesus, while the book of Acts should be described as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. My own experience of Acts has been mostly shaped by one passage repeated every year from Acts 2, and that's because that passage is full of words that are really hard to pronounce, and it happens to also be one I can recite. Not going to do it now. It's the story of Pentecost, which we will share towards the end of this series at the end. But what I'm excited to share with all of you is that with the help of Dr. Jennings, I have discovered that Acts is so much more than the story of Pentecost. The book of Acts tells the revolutionary story of the disrupting Spirit of God, breaking down barriers that separate people, and the resurrected Jesus calling followers to envision new life together. Dr. Jennings writes that Acts is a story of revolutionary intimacy with God and one another. Many followers of Jesus believe Easter to be a one-day celebration. Thankfully, the Christian church has reminded us that resurrection is best integrated into our identities through a celebration that unfolds over 50 days. So, our six-week Easter worship series will be rooted in his theological commentary on Acts that we hope will invite all of us into deeper discernment about where the Spirit of God might just be leading our community of faith as we move from pandemic lockdown through vaccinations and into a new way of being. I think it is important to note here that the two books, the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles, are often what biblical scholars consider a two-volume set. That's because they're written by the same author, as far as we know. According to Dr. Jennings, Acts is like the book of Genesis, revealing a God who is moving over the land, putting into place a holy repetition that speaks of the willingness of God to invade our every day and our every moment. He reminds us that Acts took place in a time of empire, when the people were caught between diaspora Israel and the Empire of Rome. The Spirit of God intervened, offering new life to both. And Jennings shows that Acts teaches us how people of faith can yield to the Spirit to overcome the divisions of our present world. So, I want to begin with the first chapter of Acts, verses 3-5, where we read about the post-resurrection experience of Jesus and his followers. After his suffering, the risen one presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over the course of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Creator. "This," he said, "is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." They have been surprised, shocked, whatever you might want to imagine here, for 40 days in which the resurrected, risen one has shown himself in ways which allow them to touch into the risen one. What do I mean by that? Having experienced this in common, the disciples discover a new way in which God is with them, with us. Their work is to internalize this, to invite others into this way, not as replacements for Jesus, but as his actual living disciples in the world. And here is what the risen one tells them to do. Stay put. Stay put and wait for the baptism of God's Holy Spirit. I hear shelter in place. Drill down right where you are and stay tuned. And while you are there, get ready and prepare yourself for the new. Dr. Jennings reminds us that geography matters. Place matters to God. From a specific place, The disciples will move forward into the world. To go from place to place is to go from people to people and to go from an old identity to a new one. Jesus prepares them for the journey of their lives by holding them in a place where the Spirit will be given to them in that place, and from that place, they will be changed. So, what are the contours of the old identity you might be called to let go of as you prepare to go from place to place, from people to people? On the surface, this seems like good news. But what do the disciples say in response? They ask what Jennings calls the nationalist question. So this is Acts 1:6. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" In other words, we are going to quarantine together, but then when will we be the rulers? When will our way of doing things be the way of doing things? When will we stop all this other nonsense and let everyone know there is a new sheriff in town? It will be in everyone's very best interest, of course, always. Jennings suggests that the nationalist expressed there, the nationalist question, excuse me, expressed there, is not a historical nationalism bound to the anatomy of Israel, but the deeply human desire of every people to control our own destiny and shape the world into our hoped-for eternal image. These desires, by the way, are a natural human tendency, right? I think they are. And such desires help us to cope with the vulnerability that is our human life. And they reflect our untended wounds. The more untended wounds, the greater the hope for self-determination and to have power over others. Think about that. Jennings would say, this is what drives the creation of gated communities, border patrols, ultimately resulting in violence and segregation, which then morphs into the proper exercise of the state's right to life. In what ways are we desiring to control our destiny amid this season of returning to the world post-pandemic lockdown? For me, I want everyone to get vaccinated. That's what I want. Because I want everyone to stay healthy. I would hope so. That's kind of true. But it is also true that if everyone did this, then I would not have to have really hard conversations with people, some of them in my own family. I would not have to weather conflict that causes me to make hard choices myself, which will inevitably lead to more conflict. The restoration of the reign of Israel is not going to look like those disciples imagined or anticipated. God's power will be released on them via the Holy Spirit, and the life of Jesus will be inseparably bound into their lives. They will become his witnesses in ways more complex than they could ever have imagined. That's because this is a revolutionary intimacy. I'm reading from Acts again. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The disciples will be formed by the Spirit as witnesses. They will set loose into the world, not as representatives of empires, but as ones who are, what I hear, talking about a revolution in a whisper. While they're standing in welfare lines, crying in the doorstep of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around, waiting for a promotion. This is what the revolution of the intimate of God calling to the world looks like. They will enter new places to become new people by joining themselves to those in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And this might look like the disciples opening space for others to know the resurrected one by making their own lives a stage on which he will appear through and in them. You might say that they are making space for the world to know Jesus. Because finally, the tables are starting to turn. We're talking about a revolutionary time. So what happens next? Well, I'm reading from Acts again. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Jesus ascends, which feels to me fairly dramatic and, well, very superhero-like. And if we aren't careful, that is where we go, to images that are more the stuff of Marvel movies, like what they're made of, which would be a miss. But to be fair, that's where the disciples go as well. It says, while he was going and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. And they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. They stand and watch. They gaze up towards heaven, concerned with his latest absence instead of looking forward to his presence. Again, it is our human moment of nationalistic thinking, okay? When the temptation to mark the spot rises up into us, I know what we can think of. Let's build a monument to Jesus. And this place will become sacred, and everyone will know that we were the ones closest to him, and they will gather around the monument and pay him homage. Probably it should be made of what? Copper. No, silver. No, gold. The two men in white robes break into the movie, running in their own imaginations. Right here, I hear that scratching record sound. What the heck are you standing here, they say. Why are you staring up at the clouds? You've got work to do, people to see, places to visit, love to share. We're talking about a revolution. And for some of us, this revolutionary intimacy of God with us will hold both loss and life in ways that never amount to more than going through the emotions. The motions of repeating and memorizing the promise of the Holy Spirit, but never actually allowing it to shape the contours of our lives. For others, this revolutionary intimacy of God's Holy Spirit will be the wind in our sails, on boats we've never sailed upon, uncharted waters, right? We will take with us, though, the stories of the one who came, who taught, who died, who rose, who appeared to those who knew him best, and then entrusted them to dismantle the empire and rebuild one in which its inhabitants will love God with all their heart and soul and mind and their neighbor as themselves. The grandiosity, though, of revolution can capture us with visions of sweeping, dramatic reforms. But what we experience in the book of Acts is a revolutionary intimacy. Listen. The Holy Spirit never allows us to stay where we are, right? And the Holy Spirit never allows us to separate the beautiful, intimate vulnerability of the broader revolution of what God is disrupting in the world. We have been in pandemic lockdown for 13 months. 13 months. We have not only lost our rhythms and life patterns with ourselves and God, we have had to create new ones, right? Because it only takes like 7 weeks to learn a new habit, something like that. And now we are getting ready to be on the move again. So here are three questions that I want you all to hold. And you need to know I'm standing in this sanctuary. I'm overcome with emotion, so I'm trying to calm down. And I had to work really hard to make this work today. So I'm just gonna pause as I share these three questions with you. And they'll be on the screen too. Three questions to hold. Will we go back to old ways we inhabited prior to pandemic? What of those old ways was possibly useful but is no longer necessary? What of those new ways we lived into over the last 13 months will we want to actually carry with us? So, may we hold loosely to our patterns. May we be inspired by only those ways that allow us to love God, love our neighbors, as we are compelled by God's holy, dynamic, intimate Spirit.
Amen. And thank you, Pastor Linda. I want to invite us to transition whatever might be stirring within your own heart, within your mind, your body, within your soul. I want to invite us to move together now into a time of prayer. And we pray in many, many different ways here at the table. This morning, we're going to pray through a piece of art. It's a song and a visual movement that comes to us from the folks at The Work of the People. And it's a piece called The Old Story. And the music that we'll hear is originally by Trevor Hall. And so as we step from Linda's message into this time of prayer, I want to invite you to just settle in wherever you happen to be. If you're at home or you're out on a walk, to just take a deep breath. And to let God's Spirit guide us and lead us into this time of prayer. Let us pray.
You could play it out, but all of it's in your head. Holding on with both two hands. Gotta let go now. Is it really you knocking at your own door? Always looking for something more. Don't be a fool. gotta let that old story go. You just gotta let that good river flow into your heart. It's a start. Gonna run from here, only running from your own fear. It'll catch up now. Gotta let it die, gotta let it go its own way. Who will you be if you let it stay? Just gotta let that old story go. You just gotta let that good river flow into your heart. It's a start. Just gotta let that good river flow into your heart. It's a star.
Loving God, help us to let go of the old stories that your Spirit might now call us to step together into the new ways of being community, into the new revolutionary intimacy that you long for us to have with one another and with you. We offer this in our lives, in your creative ways, and in your many names. Amen. One of the ways that we step into that newness is by joining with the long line of people who have gone before us in practicing radical generosity. And we do that in many ways here at the table. One of those is through an Easter offering. We have started to collect that over these last few weeks online. If you haven't had an opportunity to go online and you would like to join us in sharing an Easter offering this year, we'd encourage you to go to our website, thetableumc.org, and in the upper right, you'll see a link to help you do that. Our Easter offering this year is being divided between two important ministries. The first is called South Sacramento Interfaith Partnerships Food Closet. That is serving people and has for a number of decades in South Sacramento, folks that are experiencing food insecurity. So half of our Easter offering will go directly to support that important work. And the second half will go to support this new ministry that we've taken on over these last months, really late last summer, called Table Farm. Table Farm is just a half mile from the SSIP Food Closet. And there we're growing food both with and alongside neighbors for the neighbors in that space. So we encourage you, if you are able, we know pandemic is hitting us all in such different ways, and we know it's not possible for everyone, but if it is for you and you would like to make a difference in this moment, we'd encourage you to go to our website and to make a gift as you're able to join with us in practicing resurrection by giving generously at this time. You can also set up giving there if you'd like to support the ministries here at the table. If you're feeling led to do that, you can do that through a one-time gift or recurring gifts. We also have a way to give through text. You simply text any amount, the amount you would like to give, to the number that's there on the screen, and that will go directly to supporting our ministries here at the table. If you haven't been out to Table Farm, we'd love for you to go to thetable.farm, and you'll see there some community volunteer hours this spring and throughout the summer. Those are Tuesday and Thursday mornings and Saturday mornings as well. The last Saturday of every month is a special gathering for children and families. So we hope you'll go and learn more about that and join us out in that space. I was just there earlier this morning with our daughter, and 11 other folks that were gathering in that space. One actually was there for the very, very first time. So if you haven't been out, we'd love to have you check that out. We're going to go out this day with a song that calls us into God's future. This is a song called Fear Not. It's our music team's version of Fear Not. So may this song be our anthem as we move out into God's world. Go in peace, loving God and loving your neighbors. Amen.
As you're feeling overcome, stand still and believe. I won't let you drown. When a cry's in your throat, watching all the waves below, lift your eyes to the sky and trust that I won't pass you by. Fear not. If I could say it any louder, I would. If I could say it any louder, I would. Let me show you what I see. You can't dream too big for me. So get up, get on your way. We've got things to do today. Fear not. If I could say it. Keep your eyes fixed straight ahead. Hold on tightly to the promise. Hold firmly to the truth.